Talk about things today that are less than a shear. In other words, if a Torah sometimes has a shear of this or a shear of that, how do you deal with them when you have less than a shear? The same type of question repeats itself often. You'll see the primary example would be chatzi shear. And we all know that the machlokas in Maseches Yoma and Daf Chayin Gimel, whether or not chatzi shear is asur min haTorah, min haRabbanan, the Mishnah just says it's asur, the Mishnah applies it to us, the Gemara. Mishnah just says achilim shtir aser, like aser is pashut aser, it's chayv kares. The Gemara says no, it's referring to pachut mishir. Is it aser midarais or aser midarabanan? That's machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says aser midarabanan, and Reish Yochanan holds it to aser midarais. The way I like to break this down, and you'll see in a second the two different versions of it. In a second, I like to talk about Reish Lakish really believes that the Torah, Reish Lakish is really predicated on two assumptions. We're not talking about the two assumptions move today. Reish Lakish is predicated on two assumptions. Number one is that the Torah made one Isser called Achila, and that the Torah said there's only one thing called that's Isser. It's Isser. Do Achila's Isser, whatever the Isser is. There's one Isser, and that Isser is defined by a Kezias. When Melo comes out, if it's less than a Kezias, then it's not Isser. The Torah said there's one thing that's Isser, and it's the Shear is a Kezias. L'chor of Yochanan can argue one of two assumptions. Either we can say, no, there's a separate Isser in addition to the classic Isser. There's a separate Isser called Pachas Mashir. Maybe it's even learned that from the Pasuk of Kol Chelev. Alternatively, right, that's Wamsha. There's a separate Isser. It's an independent Isser called meaning Pachas Mechetzi Shir. People like to call it Isser Klali. It's a specific Isser used called Chetzi Shir. Again, it's probably learned from Kol Chelev. The Torah has a special source. It says if you eat, you know, a Chetzi Shir, you are in violation of this Isser called Chetzi Shir. Alternatively, Rabbi Yochanan can argue, yeah, you're right, there is one Isser called Chetzi Shir. It's not that I initially said that there were two different Isser, one called Chetzi Shir, one called, you know, Shkatzim V'Ramasim or Truma, and another one called Chetzi Shir. Rather, you could say it's the same old Shir, it's the same old Isser, pardon me, just a lower level of it. In other words, it's not that the Torah said Chatzi Shir defines the Isser, that just defines the Onesh, but if you do less than a Shir, you get the Isser nonetheless. This is the classic Chakir by Chatzi Shir. Is Chatzi Shir a downgraded form of the Isser, or is it fundamentally different, a brand new something or a brand new pasuk? The Ramban in the Torah Ha'adam, I have it on page Chaf Ches in the Musar Rav Kook edition. The Ramban has an unbelievable question. How can there ever be the principle of Hakal HaKal Tchila? Let's start off with Hakal HaKal Tchila. Hakal HaKal Tchila means if you have the opportunity to do two different Yisurim, you have to do one of them. You do the Hakal HaKal Tchila. You do the lightest one first, and then at the end of the day, you do the most Machra. When you do, you always start off with the lightest one. So let's say you have a choice of violating a big Isser versus a small Isser, we always choose the small Isser first. So the Ramban wants to know, how is there ever Hakal HaKal Tchila? All Chatzi Shir is the same. That question clearly assumes that what? That there's a separate Isser called Chetzi Shir, and there's no difference between a Chetzi Shir of Truma versus a Chetzi Shir of Shvius. It's all the same. There's no difference of a Chetzi Shir of Treifa versus a Chetzi Shir of Basar B'chol. All Chetzi Shirs are on equal ground. The Ramban suggests two different answers. Number one is he says, even a Chetzi Shir of Tevel is worse than a Chetzi Shir of Truma, which says that there is a gradation within them, which implies that Chetzi Shir is not a separate Isser called Kol Chelev, a separate Isser called Chetzi Shir, but rather one is Truma, one is Tevel, one is Chelev, and one is Basar B'chalev, and each one reflects the Shir. If one is worse when it's a Shir, then the downgraded form is worse than the other one's downgraded form because it's an actual Isser. Alternatively, the Ramban suggests a second answer. He says, this is an Akimta. The doctor told you better eat a kezayis of iser betoch kidei achilat pras. Okay, the doctor just probably didn't phrase in such a halachic terminology, but he said, you have to eat a lot of treifa food right now. And the question is, and therefore the point is you're eating more than a shir, it does have to make a difference. But the implication would be, according to the second tarot of the Ramban, ein hachinami. If it'd be less than a shir, there'd be no difference. You can eat either truma or tevel or shkatzim or chelev. They're all on equal par. And l'chor, those 2 days of the Ramban are good for the two different ways we're looking at Chitin's Rabbi Yochanan, the two different perspectives on Chetzi Shir, whether it's a downgrade or form of the same old Isser, whether it's a separate independent Isser Klali, Isser Klali, Isser Pratyat, they call it. Okay. A second nafkamina would be based upon the Gemara and Misach Pesachim and Daf Chav Dal on the base. The Gemara there has an unbelievable chiddush that although classically the only way you can violate an Isser Achila is if you eat it Derech Achila, if you eat it Kedarka. If you have a way of eating it Shalok Kedarka, you swallow it, you know, without any chewing it, or you put maybe some type of, what do they have in the hospital, they come in?
In vitro.
What? In vitro, I think, is when you get pregnant that way.
Oh,
I think it's called an IV, right? You know what it's called?
Yeah.
IVF. It's in vitro fertilization.
IV is
intravenous.
They're more important. Intravenous. I think it's intravenous. Okay. Okay. If you do the IV and you put it into your skin, you put it whatever it is. So that's not an Isra Achila because it's not Derech Achila. So the Gemara says that's true at most Isurim. When it comes to Klei HaKerem, there's a unique principle that even if it's Shalok Kedarach, you eat it Achila Shalok Kedarach, you violate the Isra nonetheless. That's the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kav Dalet on the base. That there's that what if let's say you take different types of. Let's say you're not supposed to plant different types of fruit together, different types of seeds in one thing. Let's say you have grapes there, and you have some other type of, I don't know, growing together. So when it comes to that, let's say you would eat it by this IV, or let's say you would eat it without swallowing. So the Gemara there says it's haka in Isser Daraisa, just like if you eat a kedarko, unlike all other isurim, this is a unique exception to the rule of klei hakarim. What's the halacha by chatzi shir of klei hakarim? What'd be the chatzi shir of klei hakarim? What'd the din be? So if it's the same old halacha, just a downgraded form, it would have the same rules because it's the same halacha. If you're violating isur called klei hakarim, you're still violating klei hakarim. You're just violating less of it when there's no onish. However, if one argues that it's a separate isur called chatzi shir, called Chelev, well then it wouldn't have the rules of Klei HaKerem. In a similar vein, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was once asked the following shaila.
What? Different Chetzi Shir by IV or different Chetzi Shir by Klei HaKerem?
By Klei HaKerem, if you eat a Chetzi Shir of Klei HaKerem, Shelo Kedarko by IV or without swallowing, whatever it would be, would you violate the Isser or not? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, on a similar note, was once asked one who was in a situation with a chazan for Yom Kippur, ate on Yom Kippur, or drank a little bit, but he ate chatzi shir, he ate the shir on Yom Kippur, less than a kikos sabbis, less than a mali lugma, whatever he ate. So what was the halacha? Couldn't use the minhag that you shouldn't allow for the chazan to daven if he's not fasting. This guy wasn't fasting, what's the story? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, you can be Mekel. I can be Mekel. He goes, there's a machlokas rishon. Did this guy, if he ate chatzi shir, what issue did he violate? Did he violate Achila Yom Kippur? Then you'd have to be machmer, not allow him to daven for the yom. But since, perhaps, we can argue that chatzi shir is not the downgraded form of Achila Yom Kippur, it's a separate issue called Achilas chatzi shir, the guy never violated Yom Kippur, and therefore he's allowed to daven. It's like if he spoke Lashon Hara on Yom Kippur, it's not encouraged, we certainly discourage it. But that wouldn't serve as an impediment for him to daven for the yom. Next. This is a little more complicated. Let's say a person makes a shavuot less than a kezayis. So the Rashba Masechet Shavuot and Daf Chav Beis writes, it's mushva v'amar mer sinai, and your potter. In other words, if a person says, I make a shavuot not to eat, you know, any amount of, I don't know what, of chaylev, or bet them, so you make a shavuot today, and you eat a chatzi zayis of chela. They have to make a shavuot not to eat chela or something like that. In other words, I'm sorry. You make a shavuot not to eat a chatzi shir of. I apologize. You make a shavuot. I wasn't thinking straight. You make a shavuot not to eat a chatzi shir of chela. Let's just say not to eat a chatzi shir of I don't know what of truma. Cohen, Truma, Tamei, all the machals are surahs, whatever it is. The Rashba says it's mushva v'omer sinai. Since it's usher from the Torah, since we pass in Tatishir is Asa Midaraisa like Rav Yochanan. It's Mushva V'Omed. And if you would eat it, you'd violate the Isser Chatzishir, but you would not have to bring a carbon. You'd be Potter on your carbon because Mushva V'Omed, the whole Shavuot, not Hal. Other Rishonim, the Rambam, Hilchas Shavuot, Parakei, Halacha Zayin, the Ritvim, Sechshav, and Daf Chavbeis, the Meiri and Yom and Daf Ayin, Dalim and Aleph, all disagree. And they say it's not Mushva V'Omed, and you're Chayiv a carbon. You're Chayiv for violating your Shavuot. Perhaps this machlokes would depend upon our shaila as well. According to the Rashba, seemingly it's a separate isra, and of course Mushva V'Omed applies. There's a separate isra called eating chatzishir. You ate a chatzishir. You violated exactly what the Torah said not to. Once you hold of that it's a separate isra, it's like any other isra of the Torah, and of course Mushva V'Omed would apply. According to the Rambam, the Ritva, and the Meiri, you have to say some type of downgraded isra. That's the only way you can go. And the truth is, we showed them themselves explain it. They actually explain it slightly differently, which opens up a whole other realm of lumdus, which is worthwhile to hear them. There are two different presentations as to why Mushav Omer Sinai would not apply here. The Rambam just says it generically. You don't know which way he would go, but the Ritzvah and Meiri seem to have different presentations. Do you remember the stuff Melo's man or no? Pilch, remember the stuff? Good. You remember this stuff, the more and more you remember this stuff, you know, this is what Phil's Tamanich HaKam. The Ritva writes that since there's no punishment, there's no malchus, there's no carbon, there's no kareis, you see from there it's a light isser. It's not so serious, it's not so severe, it's a light isser because there's no punishment. And therefore you can have another isser placed on top of it. Usually we say isser, ain't isser, chalal isser, because if there's an elephant in the room, you can't fit another elephant in, the doorway's not big enough. But since this isser is so small, it's so light, there's room for, I guess, to stick with my mashal, two zebras in the doorway because they're much smaller. Well, the Meiri has a different presentation. It's a fascinating presentation, the Meiri and Ayin Dal and Yoma. The Meiri says, Chatzi Shir is designed to prevent people from violating the Isser. Once someone swears not to eat the Isser, you make a Shvua, there's no longer a concern if you're violating the Isser because you already made a Shvua not to. And therefore, once you make a Shvua not to, the Shvua is on the Chatzi Shir. Therefore, there's no longer concern if you've been eating a chatzishir because if, right, in other words, the whole purpose of chatzishir is a preventative measure. It's like a siag or a gedur min haTorah. And therefore, if you make a shvua not to do it, there's no longer a need to keep that gedur because you made a shvua. The shvua supplements, it replaces the iser Torah. And therefore, you can be subject to mushva v'omed. Two different presentations. While Aman is a quick side point, L'chor, the difference would be, according to Rav Yochanan, if you hold that it's a downgraded Isser, it's the same old Isser, just downgraded, L'chor, there are two ways of looking at it, whether or not it's a preventative measure, a siag, a geder, or if it's something inherently Usser. And that leads to the famous Tshuva of Rabbi Kivager and Kuf Mem Dalet. Rabbi Kivager writes, it's mutter to eat on Yom Kippur, chatzishir, as long as it's the last few seconds of Yom Kippur, and you cannot finish eating it by the end of Yom Kippur. You follow that? And same thing with chametz at the end of Pesach. You can eat chametz, a chatzishir of chametz at the end of Pesach. You can eat a chatzishir at the end of Yom Kippur, assuming that if you're eating an amount of food that takes you 5 seconds to eat, you start eating it 4 seconds into the end of Yom Kippur. Because there's no chance ever of coming to violate the Isser. That would make a lot of sense if it's a gedder, if it's a siyag, it's a preventative measure. And you have sometimes siyagim daraisa. I think Rav Yaakov Emden has a whole list of them. Alternatively, one could argue it's not a siyag, it's not a gedder, but rather it's a inherently a problem, which case Rabbi Kivager would make absolutely no sense. One last nafkamina, and then I'll take around the questions before we move on to the next two quick sugyas. What about by mitzvahs? Let's say a person wants to eat a chatzi shir of matzah. Leil HaSeder. Is there any value to that? So the Mishnah Lamelech and Hilchas Chametz Matzah, right in the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin writes, no, it's a separate, in other words, no, that's not Shaykh. There's a separate issue called Kol Chalev that would have no relevant implications for a mitzvah. The Torah says you shouldn't have violated the Yisr, but a mitzvah, Mechdesi, no such thing. While the Minchas Chinuch in a few places, one example would be Mitzvah Vav, writes, there is a discussion, it's worthwhile to think about it. Perhaps there are even Achronim who hold it's okay. Chatzi Shir of Matzah is better than nothing, says the Minchas Chinuch, raise that possibility. Why does it make any sense of having Chatzi Shir of Matzah? How would that help? What do you accomplish by there? So I thought there were perhaps this Minchas Chinuch was based upon three assumptions, one of them very, very relevant to our conversation. Number one, Chatzi Sher has to be a downgraded Isser.
That's our conversation.
Number two is it's inherently wrong to eat Chatzi Sher, so therefore, number two. And then the reverse would be it's inherently right to eat matzah. And even if you are not getting the whole shear's worth, just like it's inherently bad to eat Chatzi Sher's worth, so too it's inherently bad to inherently good, pardon me, to eat Chatzi Sher's worth, perhaps you'd have a good svara over there. In any event, the methodological move is the pachos considering objectively nothing. Wait a second. The methodological move we're trying to talk about over here is when you have pachos mishir, is it objectively nothing or is it objectively something? It's just that we don't take it very seriously. Is it an inherent isser to it? Kol chelim would certainly have inherent isser to it, and even the downgraded, you know, even the downgraded format may have inherent isser to it. While the other perspective, it's a gezeira, it's not really inherently bad, it's just, you know, we tell you not to do it anyway. And anytime you have pachos mishir, one should ask, does it have inherent value, good or bad, to it, or is it just a technical thing along the way? The three assumptions for the Minchas Sinach was, number one, is it's downgraded isser. Number two, when it comes to the isser, it's inherently wrong. And then number three, the reverse should be true by mitzvahs as well. Let's do another quick sugya. What about pachos mishem pruta? We all know that there's a minimum amount of money is a sheva pruta. But if you have a kaddish and isha, you have to use at least a sheva pruta after the Mishnah writes in the Sefer Kedushin and Dav Beis Menach. If a person wants to steal, violate Isra Geneva Daraisa, the simple reading of the Rambam is you have to steal a pruta's worth. If you steal less than a pruta, presumably not, although maybe we'll discuss that a little later when we get to the right time of Mishnah Melch over here. Maybe not. Okay, fine. The Gemar Mesechet Sanhedrin and Dav Nun Tes Amin Aleph writes, there, that there is nothing usher for B'nai Noach that's mutter for B'nai Yisra. Then the Gemara brings up a challenge. A challenge is then brought from stealing from the Gezeila Geneva less than a Sheva Pruta. Right? In other words, maybe we're more machmir by Goyim that you can't even steal a Sheva Pruta by Goyim, but by Jews it's mutter to steal up to a Sheva Pruta. If you would steal pachos mishir pruta from a goy, it seems like it's mutter. I'm sorry, pardon me, it seems like it is usher. But if you steal mishir pruta from a goy, from a Jew, it sounds like it's mutter. You may say it one more time clearly because I jumbled my sentence. If you steal from a goy pachos mishir pruta, that's usher, but from a Jew it's mutter.
From the goy or the goy steals?
From a goy.
From a goy.
The Gemara responds, no, that B'nai Noach are not B'nai Mechila. And the Yad Ramah offers two interpretations of what that means. Yad Ramah, suggestion number one, found again right over there in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, B'nai Yisrael are more compassionate, more flexible, we're not as stingy, and therefore we're mochel up to a Sheva Pruta. If you look at Rashi, he seems to agree with that as well. And the Yad Ramah offers a second pshat. He says, for B'nai Noach, less than a Sheva Pruta is nichshav money. What does it sound like? It sounds like our same two pshatim. The first pshat says, we recognize the fact that Pachim Sheva Pruta is money, it's just that the guy's mochel. It is fundamentally money, just we don't treat it that way. While the second pshat is that, no, pach mishav puta is a halachic shear, which has no value of less than shav puta. You didn't steal anything because you didn't steal value. Halacha recognizes value only from shav puta and up. Is it subjectively that people are mochel, or is it objectively that the Torah defines it from shav puta and up? This may very well explain a very well-known machlokis in Maseches Kedushin and Daf. Give him a minute. About? The Gemara there says that you cannot, the Gemara says, Minyana Duration of Utemai. Why does the mission say, Hesha Niknes Peshlosha Drachim? The Gemara says it comes to exclude Lemute Chalipin. No, Lemute Chuppah, sorry. And what about Rav Huna, who holds you can use Chuppah, and has a whole discussion if Chuppah works for Kedushin or not. Look to buy Rav and Dafe. Leave that aside for right now. The Gemara says, okay, so then it comes to exclude Chalipin. And we assume that it goes according to all opinions, not just the Baal Pelukta, Ravuna, it goes to Lamanda, Kuleyama, Chalipin doesn't work. That seems to be the Pasha Pshad. Maybe Tosis Radio seems a little bit differently. But the Gemara says, Beferish, that Chuppah, sorry, pardon me, Chalipin does not work for Kedushin, and that's the bottom line. Chalipin does not work. Chuppah is the Machlokas Amarai. Maybe that's excluded, maybe not. If it's not excluded, then chuppah is certainly excluded. If it is excluded, well, then chuppah is not excluded, but then chalip is not excluded, but presumably it doesn't work anyway. I apologize. Did people get that clear? I hope I did that clear. Again, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, let me do it one more time. The Mishnah says there are three things you can use. The Gemara says, okay, three and not what? And not a fourth. What's that fourth one? Chuppah. But some people hold chuppah works. They must believe the fourth thing that got excluded is chalipin. And even if you hold chuppah is excluded, nonetheless, chalipin also doesn't work. So therefore, whether it's the thing that's excluded or it's not the thing that's excluded, either way, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? So the Gemara says, Machlokas Girsos, which is going to be very relevant. Machlokas says, Yishev Apachas, Yishev Apachas, the Lo Machna, or Lo Machna Es Nafsha. Rashi has a second Girsa. Rashi believes she would never give herself over. It's a Ganai. It's a Ganai for her to give her Machna herself over. A woman would never give herself over for Pachas Mishev Apruta. And Mistama, once it's not for Pachas Mishev Apruta, Mistama, it's a Ganai for all Chalipin. At least that's where the Ramban understands Rashi. And therefore, Chalipin doesn't work at all. Because it's a Ganai, she would never give herself over. Because Pachas Mishev Apruta is a Ganai. What does that imply about Pachas Mishev Apruta?
Well, it's something.
Fundamentally, it could work, it's just subjectively, she chose not to, which, by the way, is Rashi Lishita's back-end on Tess and Sanhedrin. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos writes that the reason why Pach Nishav Pruta doesn't work is because it's not Nichshav L'Klum. It's not worth money. It has no halachic value. L'char that Machlokas, Rashi Tosfos, Gufar Machlokas, 2 days in the Yad Ramah. Is that the Torah defined the value of money from Shavuot and up, or is it just technically that's how people relate to it? Interestingly enough, is if you go back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis and Kedushin, is Machlokas Hillel and Shammai as to what the bare minimum amount of Kedushin is. Hillel says it's a Prut and that's a Paskin, while Shammai says it's a Dinar. Is that Machlokas a fundamental Lamdisha qualitative Machlokas? Or is it a technical quantitative machlokas? What's the answer? What? Between? Correct. That's the Lechar Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. According to Beis Shammai, why do you need a dinar? Because women are matzah not to take less than a dinar. That's what Beis Shammai says. According to Rashi, women are, Hillel agrees fundamentally it's about what they're matzah to take. The question is, are they matzah to take a dinar? Or are they matzah to take a Pruta, but it's a quantitative machlokas, more or less. How much are they willing to take? A dinar or pruta? Well, according to Tosfos, it's a fundamental machlokas as to why you need a minimum shear. Is it subjectively that's what women are willing to take? Ashita Shammai. While Hillel says no, it's that there's no halachic value for pruta. Essentially, again, Shammai holds it's about women's hakpadas. Does Hillel agree that fundamentally it's about hakpadas, just has a different shear, or disagrees fundamentally, says, no, it's not about women hakpadas and what they're willing to accept and not willing to accept. Rather, it's about the halachic definition of money. Let's get one more quick sugi in, then we'll stop here. Maybe a little bit shorter than usual, but that's okay. I have a meeting soon anyway. The Gemara in Maseches Bav Metzia, Adav Beis Amar Aleph, states that if two people are shnayim, the din is yachloka. If I'm holding on, the Gemara says, what's the case? The Gemara says, how is that possible? If I'm holding on to 80% of the talis and you're holding on to 10% of the talis, so everything that's tachas yadi is shali. Whatever I'm mochsikin is mine. If I'm holding on to 80%, I get 80%. If you're holding on to 10%, you get 10%. The Gemara says, yes, you're right. We're only talking about a situation where we're each holding on to what's called the karkashta. I'm holding on to the fringes. You're holding on to the fringes. Then we divide 50-50. But if I'm holding on to 80%, you're holding on to 10%, I get 80, you get 10, and the last 10%, we divide 5, 5, I get 85, you get 15. But the machlok is we're holding on to the karkashta, we're holding on to the fringes. What is the shear of the karkashta? What's the shear of the fringes? The Gemara says, gimel etzbos, 3 fingers by 3 fingers. So if I'm holding on to less, if I'm holding, the case of the mission is I'm holding on to the fringes, you're holding on to the fringes, we're each holding on to less than gimel etzbos worth. Therefore, the din is yachloku. That's the chiddush in the Mishnah on that day. Why would you choose 3 by 3? Who says that? Where's that svar come from? So that's machlok. It's the prisha and the shach. The prisha writes in kuf lamid ches in Choshen Mishpat. It's a cut and gimel. It's not nechshav a kli. Gimel etzpos is a sheer kli, and less than that is not a sheer of anything. It's like you're holding on to nothing. The karkash here is nothing. If you look at Rashi by Matzia Dav Zayin, it's mashmah that way as well. That it's not, you're not holding on to anything. You're holding on to nothing substantive. While the Shach disagrees and says, no, less than Gimel al Gimel, people are mocha. Again, the shear is Gimel al Gimel. Why less than Gimel al Gimel? If I'm holding on to 50% or 80%, then you're holding on to the talus. Why'd you choose the shear? What's the halachic status of Pach Gimel al Gimel? Is it that it's really fundamentally the same thing? It's just that you're mochel. I'm mochel. We can assume mechila. Alternatively, one could suggest that that's the halachic definition of a kli. And the Torah defines what you're holding on to is by how much, by whether or not you have Gimel etzbos or not. The nafkamina luchar would be if I'm holding on to 2 fingers worth, and you're holding on to 1 finger worth, or if I'm holding on to 2.5 and you're a half a finger, and I'm 3 fingers and you're a quarter of a finger, whatever it is, and you're not mochel. According to the Prisha, we divide equally across the board because anything less than gimlets both is worthless. Well, according to the Shach, let's just give an easy case, if I'm holding on to 2 etzbos and you're holding on to 1 etzba, so, and you're not mochel, we give the 2 finger person an extra half of a finger's worth, since the din is based on mechila, and we can't assume a person was mochel if he says, I'm not mochel. And again, you see fundamentally the same type of thing when the Torah says that the shear is a shear of X. What's the halach if it's less than a shear? Is it nothing because the Torah defined it as nothing? Or no? The Torah says it has some meaning, but they gave it a cutoff point for some other reason why the shear of an onesh, the shear of what we can assume people are mochel on, and what people, you know, it's a subjective shear. This is classic, a classic and important question to ask when it comes to figuring out the sogya of chetzi shear. Questions? 1, 2, 3, 4. Why? I think so, because it's all based on mechila, and therefore, if people are not mochel, then you can't split evenly, too.
Wouldn't that be considered shu'a shav?
Why?
Considered
the question is the Mushvav Omer Sinai.
Yeah.
In other words, so that's a discussion. So the Rashba says, yeah, it's Mushvav Omer. And the other Rishonim say no. And there's 2 different explanations why not. Either because Mushvav Omer is based upon Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, which is not Shaykh here, because Isser is such an Isser Chal. Or they say no, because the whole reason why Chatzi Shir exists in the first place is a preventative measure. But once you made a Shavua not to eat the Chatzi Shir, then the preventative measure is not necessary. Yeah. The Meiri writes that because we are so the reason why Chati Shir exists is to prevent you from eating a full shir. But once you make a shvua, there's no longer a concern of eating a full shir, because you're not even going to eat a Chati Shir. And therefore, Chati Shir is no longer Asher Minat Torah. It falls away. It's Mutar Lagamre. And if you would eat, you'd violate a Shavua. And there's no don't tell me Mushvav Omeid, because the Shavua, the Isra Torah fell away. Zev.
What was the Yad Ramah's second reason?
The Yad Ramah had 2 svaras. One is that people are mochel, and 2 is that the Torah defined money for Jews as a Chati Shir, but for Goyim never defined it that way. Forgot what day was first, what was second.
Also, the case there was stealing from a Jew, stealing from a non-Jew.
Or stealing from a Jew, correct. All right, boys, I will stop here.